From Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Toldot, the sale of the firstborn rights. We know that in Parshat Toldot, Yaakov tries to acquire the firstborn rights from his brother, the firstborn Esav, and with the transfer of the bowl of soup, the lentil soup, the birthright transfers to Yaakov, or so it seems. At the end of the story, it doesn't seem that Yaakov necessarily has that blessing or has any special rights. Esav is still getting some sort of special blessing. But nonetheless, the story says that he sold the birthright. Esav sold his birthright. Many commentators have pointed out that this clearly shows that Vayivez Esav HaBechorah, that Esav is not worthy for this blessing because he was willing to sell it. Whether the sale is effective or not, that's our topic for discussion today. What are they selling? The birthright? So what's going on? So Rashi says it's not the primogeniture, the double portion that a firstborn gets nowadays based on Torah laws. They didn't have a Torah yet. Rather, there was avoda. There was the original idea was whoever was firstborn, they get to serve as like the high priest, the kohanim. They do this offerings, and the other brothers don't. So he wanted to have that status. It wasn't appropriate for Esav, so wicked, to be in charge of the service and the worship. So Yaakov tried to wrestle it from his hands. The Rashbam says, no, it was the Pishnayim. It was the double portion. That was exactly what they were trying to get. What about the fact that the Pishnayim, the double portion, is not mandated by the Torah until later? Doesn't matter. Firstly, rabbis say that the forefathers kept the Torah. But even beyond that, many of the practices Torah codifies as law already existed beforehand. Now they become a mitzvah when they're in the Torah. But before that, there would be primogeniture in ancient Near Eastern times, Code of Hammurabi, whatever it might be. It's not such an unusual thing. So he's trying to get the second, the double portion. Now, the problem is, Ein adam maknet davar shelo balola. So we learn the third chapter of Bavmitzia. Other places, you can't sell something that's amorphous, that's not tangible, that hasn't even been born yet. It doesn't even exist. How can you sell something that didn't exist? What are they trying to sell? The double portion. When Yitzchak dies, if there's anything left, double portion will go to Esav. But we don't know if there'll be anything left. Maybe they'll have too many bills to pay from the old age home. We don't know. The Ibn Ezra believes that Yitzchak became very poor. He doesn't even have any soup in the house. There's nothing to eat. So there's no meat. So who knows? And even if there's millions of dollars, the inheritance hasn't passed yet from Yitzchak to anyone. He's not dead yet. And therefore, they're selling something that's intangible, according to the majority of the rabbis, against Rabbi Meir in the Talmud. According to the majority of the rabbis, you cannot sell or buy something that hasn't been born yet. So that's the problem. However, the Rush is quoted in some of the Balei Tosfos as saying that Rabbeinu Asher, that it's different over here, because Vayishavalo, he made Esav swear that the birthright is transferring. Oh, that's different. But the Rivash says, who cares if he swears? He doesn't swear. Even if he swears, you still can't transfer the ownership of something that isn't born yet. So Rabbi Asher Weiss says that we have to understand, what is the problem of something that's not born yet? Is the problem that we need a physical acquisition, and we don't have it. So you have to have something that you have control over. You have control over this piece of paper. I can sell you this piece of paper for a few cents. But if it's something that hasn't been born yet, you have no control over it, so it's hard to try to sell it. Or no. The problem is that it's a big joke. Right now, we don't know what's going to be. We don't know who's going to die first. We don't know if he'll have any money. So lo samcha dati. There's no smichus das. There's no resolve to really sell it. We can talk about it. Oh, I'm going to sell you my birthright. But we're not serious. If the problem is that physically you can't make the transaction take place because there's nothing for it to take place with, then swearing about it doesn't help. Okay, but I swear that it transfers. Yeah, but you have to have something physical. However, if the problem is simply gemuras das, that I don't think you're serious about this. So Yaakov covered his bases. He says, this sale is a little bit dubious. Let's swear about it. And Esav swore. So the deal was sealed. Why? Because it showed, smichus das, it showed that he is serious about this sale. However, if you say that it's not a problem of resolve, it's a problem of physically getting the transfer to work, then it wouldn't work. The Rivash says swearing doesn't help. I wanted to make a suggestion that although generally you can't sell something or buy something that wasn't born yet, maybe here it's different, because here we're talking about the promise of God. God promised that Abraham's inheritance would go to Yitzchak, Yitzchak's inheritance would go to Yaakov, etc. So this is not something that wasn't born yet. It's born. If God says you get the land, you get the land. Now, it is very intangible. The sense that Isaac controls the land is quite amorphous. I mean, people in Gerar, they don't recognize his authority. No one, when Abraham was trying to buy a burial plot, no one recognized his authority. Their acquisition of the land is very tenuous, very amorphous, but not really. In reality, there's God's promise, and that's serious. Not one word of God's promises will come out empty-handed. So maybe that's why it does work in this situation. The Ktos Achoshen, a very major authority on the Shulchan Aruch and the Choshen Mishpat, talks about different laws, monetary laws. He says, this is not about acquisition. It's about siluk. You see, sometimes I take this book and I give it to you. Sometimes I say, look, I don't need this book anymore. Putting it over here, anybody can come take it. What am I doing? I'm being misalik. I'm not giving it to everyone else. I'm being misalik. I'm removing myself. What do the Esav do? Lama zali b'chora. What do I need the firstborn for? I don't need it anymore. Here it is. You want it, you don't want it. Anybody can take it. So maybe that's what's going on here. Rather than acquisition, it's siluk, it's removal. Then you have another solution to this problem, and that is the solution of the Rashbam, solution of the Sforno. And Rabbi Asher Weiss analyzes it. I'll just share that with you. The solution of the Rashbam is that he didn't sell the birthright for a bowl of soup. There was surely a sale. Sale involves money. How much it was, doesn't say. But when you want to seal a deal of a sale, what do? You have a little meal together. Let's say you have a big business meal. You go to Dallas, make a big business deal. You're going to sell a big building there in Dallas. So what do? You go and you have dinner with the fellow. And with having dinner, that seals it. You talk about it, and the deal is sealed. So maybe today is not as firm, but in those days, when you have, let's say, a covenant, Yitzchak in this parsha has a covenant, and he has a meal with them. Part of the covenantal meal, like a Seder, a Shabbos meal, the acquisition is made. It's a custom in those days to have a meal to affirm a covenant or a deal. So what's the real deal? What's that called? The Talmud calls it situmta. It's some kind of seal or mark. Let's say I want to buy 100 barrels of wine. Well, I can't pick them up. I don't have a truck right now to take all the barrels. But we made the deal. I'm going to buy 100 barrels. So I make a mark on one of the barrels. And with that, all the barrels become mine, or I put the seal on it. I didn't lift it up. I didn't pay you money. But the custom was that if you put your mark on the barrels, it's your barrel. So then all the barrels become yours. Similarly, if you make a handshake, in the Diamond District in New York, when people shake hands and they say Mazel Bracha, the diamond transfers hands, then that's what it is. It's this minag. It's the custom in that particular place that's how you seal the deal. Now, although when it comes to regular acquisitions, you're trying to buy something with money, buy something by taking it. That doesn't work if there's nothing to take. There's nothing to buy. What are you getting? You give $100, what do you get? You get nothing. It hasn't been born yet. That's a problem. But here with a handshake, it's symbolic. And Rabbi Weiss explains that the whole idea of the handshake is what? It's not an act of acquisition where something transfers, like when you give the money or you take the object. But rather, you know what it is? It's simply showing my Gemara's dots. When I shake hands, it shows that we agree on this deal. So too, when they make that meal, it shows that they agree. And what's the essence of a deal anyway? When I buy this book, is the important thing I gave you the money and you gave me the book? Is that important? A lot of people give me books and they expect it back. What's important is that you agreed that you're going to give me this book and not take it back. And I agreed that I was going to get it and keep it. So the essence of a acquisition is to transfer ownership and that we both agree with this deal. When people get married, it's not the giving of the ring that's important. It's the tzfias, it's the agreement of the woman that she agrees to this point and the husband intends to marry her. That's the important thing. So here the intent was made clear. And when the intent is clear, then who cares what the object is? It's not about the object. Similarly, the Sforno says that the deal was with the bowl. You see, it's a king chalipin. King chalipin works like this. At a wedding, for instance, the bride is going to acquire all these rights from the husband. How is she going to acquire it? The money, what are they going to do? She's going to get some gold and silver? No. Simply, the rabbi takes an object of value, not a piece of paper, and he shakes it, and the other person, the groom, lifts it up. And with that, he agrees to all the terms of the ketubah. He's going to give, he owes a certain amount of money to the wife under certain circumstances. So similarly over here, when he gave him that bowl of soup, it was like, you know, in the book of Ruth, take off your shoe, you give it to the other fellow, and with that, the transfer is affirmed. Similarly here, it's not about actually transferring the goods. It's about agreeing to this point, and you can agree with it. It's about the essence of the deal, that we both agree to this deal by transferring the bowl of soup. They agreed to the deal. If you agree to the deal, it doesn't matter if you don't have the object. It's not about the object. When you take something, it's about the object. When you give money, it's about the object. When you shake hands or when you shake a cloth, or in this case, you shake a bowl of soup, then it's about the agreement, the essence of the agreement, that we agree to this transfer. You agree to give it, I agree to take it, the deal is sealed. But the only problem is, the Gemara says that the peri lo avdi chalipin, that you can't make the transfer of this symbolic waving of a handkerchief type of thing with fruit. And a bowl of soup is basically fruit. But if it's the bowl is a vessel, and that works. So Yaakov did it in a way that it actually worked. So the Rosh Weiss points out that he did it in all these ways that made the deal a kind of work. He did it with the bowl. He said it takes effect now, it's not later. According to Rashbam, they made that meal to seal the deal. He made him swear so it would seal the deal. Or that it was like waving that bowl, giving him the bowl, that symbolized transfer and symbolized their agreement on this deal. So, did it work? I don't know. It's an interesting question. But certainly you can make an argument that in Jewish law, there is a basis for the deal to have indeed worked. But in the end, perhaps, as Radak suggests, it's not necessary to do all this. We know the blessing will go to the person the blessing is supposed to go to. Even Isaac knows. The Birkas Avram, the blessing of Abraham, goes to Yaakov. There's no question about it. The question simply was, where would the money, the power, where would that go? Yitzchak had one idea, Rivka and God had another. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lemeth Congregation for a discussion of the Parsha and the various holidays. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.